come wash in the river, come drink your fill. Let healing waters bear away your guilt. Lay down your burdens on that beautiful shore. Come wash in the river, come be reborn.
Welcome to the Radical Truth Podcast. I am your host, Glenn Meldrum. And this podcast is brought to you by In His Presence Ministries. Visit us on the web at www.ihpministry.com. The purpose of the radical truth is simple. We want to search out the radical nature of the truth as revealed in God's Word, the Bible, and to learn about Jesus, our wonderful, loving Savior. So let's stay connected as we together seek to learn about the radical truth. For the last 20 weeks, we have been studying the epistle of 1 Peter. Last week, we began digging into the first 6 verses of chapter 3, which are about godly womanhood. The first 2 verses concentrated upon the issue of how a godly wife should respond to an unsaved husband. From there, Peter wrote on wives and womanhood in a general sort of way. This week, we will look at what Peter has to say to husbands. What Peter has to say to husbands is only found in verse 7 of the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, where he does give some very good advice. Well, advice is not the best word to use, since Peter is actually commanding husbands to act in a certain way towards their wives, which then obligates them to obey. The verse reads, "Husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." This verse gives specific commands for husbands and not for men in general. There are 3 things Peter commands husbands to do in this verse, and we will study them in turn. Before we examine these 3 points, I want to look at the transitional word that the King James Version translates "likewise" and the NIV renders as "in the same way." Unfortunately, the commentaries I have did not mention what Peter was referring to by using the word "likewise." They just seemed to skip over it. I think this is a shame because the apostle was not babbling. So there must be something of importance that he said to women that is also of importance for men. As students of the Bible, we need to try to understand what Peter had to say about godly wives that also speaks to the need of husbands. Actually, I think all the points the apostle made for wives can be applied to husbands in their own way. If you did not listen to last week's teaching, then you will need to listen to that podcast and learn about these points. I will give you a brief summary and then apply them to men. Peter first told wives how to treat an unbelieving husband. So the reverse point can be made about believing husbands that have unbelieving wives and how they should treat them so that they can lead them to Jesus. Because a husband can force his wife to go to church and outwardly embrace his faith does not mean that she has given her life to Christ. The believing husband must live out the faith so that the unbelieving wife is drawn to Jesus. Peter also said that wives should not get caught up in making themselves beautiful on the outside to the neglect of their inward life, which is eternally far more important. Wives should concentrate on the inward beauty, and this is true with men as well. Men can be just as vain about their looks as women, and this is especially true in today's culture. Men can be consumed with what they are on the outside while totally neglecting what they are on the inside. This is a travesty, since husbands and wives consumed with self will negatively affect the entire family. Because people can praise a man for his manliness or giftedness does not mean that they have to live with him. When a man or woman is ugly on the inside, everyone that lives with him or her will know the nightmare that the sinful nature can create. A sinful, self-absorbed man is just as miserable to be married to as a selfish, self-absorbed wife. Peter made a point in verse 6 that wives should do what is right and do not give way to fear. Is this not good advice for men as well as for women? Should it not be the ambition of every man and husband to do what is right in everything? If men lived this out, there would be far fewer divorces in the church and far less children forsaking Christ for the world. Not just that, but we would see many more people come to Christ as a result of men being godly examples at home and in the workplace.
And is it not true that men can have their own problems with fear? Be honest now. More than likely, Peter was addressing the fear wives can have receiving rejection or abuse from their husbands. With men, the fear has more to do with the fear of man in general, which has to do with being ashamed of Christ before a watching world. I think all these points are tied into Peter's likewise, which means that Peter had more to command of men than what he commanded of women, and this we will see as we get into this lesson. Now let's look at the first thing Peter directly commanded husbands to do. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. This is how the NIV translates a phrase. The King James reads, "Likewise ye husbands dwell with them according to knowledge." Though the King James Version gives a more literal translation, it is harder to grasp the meaning of what Peter is saying. Yet I think with some thought, in the end it gives a clearer picture of the need. The NIV, along with some other translations, strove to be faithful to the text while trying to make the meaning a little easier to understand, and they accomplished this to a certain degree. I just want to make a brief note on what Peter means when he spoke of a man and woman living together. First off, Peter is not supporting the sin of fornication, which includes a man and woman living together outside of matrimony. The scriptures clearly teach that all fornicators will not make heaven their home, even if they go to church and have sentimental feelings about God. The apostle is clearly speaking about marriage, and God's definition of marriage is a legal covenant union between one man and one woman. I want to look at the differences in translation of a section of verse 7 where the King James reads, "Dwell with them according to knowledge." The NIV states, "Be considerate." To be considerate means to show kindly awareness or regard for another's feelings, circumstances, or needs. Now that is a very good definition, and it fits right in with what Peter's teaching. The problem is that most people do not know the dictionary definition of considerate that speaks of the purposeful effort to be aware of another's feelings or needs. This is probably more common for people who think that being considerate is just being kind without any reference to the purposeful effort to know a person's need or understand his or her feelings. When I look at the construction of the sentence in the NIV, it is laid out differently than that of the King James, and this creates a different emphasis to the verse. The "dwelling with them according to knowledge" phrase of the King James Version is directly followed by "giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." This flow of thought is not as clearly laid out in the NIV that does not make obvious the cause and effect nature of the statement. According to the King James Version, the idea goes like this: dwell, knowledge, honor. To happily dwell with your wife, you must know her so that you can honor her as God intends. It is a very plain fact that men and women are different physically, mentally, and emotionally. Okay, we know that. We understand it to a very simple, basic idea. Men and women do not think alike, which means that they do not act alike. Though we can say amen to that point, how often is it that a husband and wife actually study each other so that they can rightly love each other? Men and women can emotionally respond very differently to the same situation. There are many reasons for this. But one of them has to do with the obvious fact that men and women are physically different right down into the DNA. Men are often thought to be unfeeling, and there can be a certain amount of truth to that accusation, since sometimes they are unfeeling to their spouse because they do not know how to be considerate. If a man is not a follower of Jesus, he will not have the benefit of the indwelling Spirit helping him to love beyond what he is naturally able to attain. Though you could make some great jokes about how men wish their wives were more like them, it is a sad reality that many men are very ignorant of how their wives think, which will greatly hinder them from effectively loving them. If a husband and wife are to dwell together in a happy marriage that is pleasing to the Lord, then the husband must make the purposeful effort to gain the knowledge about his wife and what she thinks and feels. This will not just happen because they are married or because they even have been married for a long time. If the husband fails to study his wife, then he is destined not to be able to meet the needs of his wife. Good marriages just don't happen. They are purposely built. At the core of good marriages is a husband's effort to know his wife so he can meet her needs that are often very different from his own. To be considerate, a husband must know his wife, and for him to know his wife, he must study her, pay attention to her, and strive to process her way of thinking and emotions so he can be a kind and loving husband. Sometimes men can really be stupid and do some very stupid things as a result. Am I not right on this point? This does not mean that women do not have the same problem. It just has a different expression. A man can think he is an expert in love when he knows absolutely nothing about the genuine needs of his wife. Winning and wooing a girl is a very different thing than being a good husband that truly knows his wife and with purpose is building a strong and loving marriage. If men were really good lovers, then their marriages would not fall apart or be filled with contention. And what I am saying here has absolutely nothing to do with sex. So the first command Peter gave husbands is that they must know their wives by studying them. That way they will learn how to meet her real needs and not just throw some flowers at her after their next argument. This leads us into Peter's second command for husbands, which is to treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Before I address the issue of respect, I have to touch on Peter's statement that wives are the weaker partner. I don't want to get myself in trouble here because this point has the potential to suck me down like quicksand if I am not careful. First, Peter's making a general statement, not an absolute statement. It is obvious that most women are always physically weaker than men. But as we know, there are exceptions to the rule. Most often, domestic abuse is perpetrated by men. But there are times that a husband has one mean mama that beats him up pretty good. I want to be very blunt here. There's absolutely no excuse for a man to ever physically abuse his wife. None whatsoever. It is a cowardly act by a man whose life is out of control. There is no excuse for a man, especially one that claims to be Christian, to abuse his wife since he should be living out a Christ-like life. Men that bear the fruit of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians chapter 5, will not abuse their wives. It is men that are filled with the fruit of the flesh that do such dastardly deeds. If a Christian man is having anger and rage issues, he must repent of his sin, confess his sin to his wife, and then make himself accountable to a godly brother in the faith that will hold him accountable. This is very important. A husband needs to be considerate of the fact that his wife is physically weaker than he is, so he should never take advantage of this fact in any way, shape, or form. He should also be tender and kind to her by not expecting more out of her physically than what she can handle. When it comes to the monthly cycles women experience, conceiving of children, and of the changes that come through menopause, men need to pay very close attention. Since men do not suffer these physical changes that affect the emotional makeup of a woman, they can also lack understanding and compassion. This means that men must strive to understand the dynamic of their wives so that they can be considerate and loving. Many a husband has been hard and heartless because he did not comprehend how these physical issues affect the emotions of his wife, and this is a shame. So husbands must deeply know their wives by studying how their physical weaknesses affect their lives and be compassionate to them. The differences that women have emotionally from men can cause men to not understand their wives, which will cause them to not be able to meet their needs. Peter's statement that women are the weaker vessel is a reference to their emotional makeup as well as their physical strength. I touched some on this just a moment ago. The idea that women are weaker does not mean they are less than or inferior to a man. I am very glad my wife has very womanly emotions. I love that about her and would not want them to be different. Since women's emotions are different than that of men, husbands must learn how to be considerate to them by knowing them very well. When it comes to intellect, women are not weaker. Here is true equality. The only thing I would say here is that the emotional dimensions of women are also tied into their physical makeup and can at times affect their thinking process. But this is true for men in their own way. None of us think well when we are in physical pain or suffering sickness and disease. Women face this much more often than the average man, but this has nothing to do with intellectual capacity or ability. When we look at the moral dimension of women, there is equality here as well. But as I touched on last week, wives are most often the moral strength of the family, not the husband, and this should not be the case. Now, I'm not saying that men are inferior to women morally, just that men are prone to justify their immorality more than women do. But all this is changing as the moral condition of the home and nation rapidly declines. Women are not weaker than men spiritually. Just as a man can have the fire of God burning in his bones, so can a woman. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, said, "My best men are women." He made this statement because many times women missionaries would go into obscure, difficult places to reach people where men would not go because they were small, remote villages that offered little prestige to feed a man's ego. Then you have the statistical fact that more women go to church than men, and this is a terrible misfortune. When men live like selfish, self-absorbed beasts that are constantly feeding their animal appetites, women can be building the home on the rock of Jesus. I have ministered in churches that were mostly women because men, filled with the fear of man and the lust of the flesh, claim that church is for sissies. What a joke. What a cop-out. Here you can see the strength of women when they walk with Jesus in spite of what their carnal husbands are doing. I want to interject something here. God has established a chain of command throughout His creation, and this includes the family. A believing wife that has an unbelieving husband will never grow in the faith to the extent she could if she had a believing husband. This is also true with the subject of holiness. If a wife has a compromising husband, then it will be much harder for her to stay true to Jesus than if she had a husband that walked near to Jesus. A man that has a passion to serve Jesus will help his wife have that same passion as well. We can see from all this that the weakness of women does not make them less human than a man, for such an idea is ridiculous, even though some have believed this to be true over the ages. Many a preacher has ministered this verse incorrectly because they did not understand what Peter was really teaching. Now, all this leads us to understand why Peter commanded men to treat their wives with respect. Men, I want you to listen to me here. How can you treat your wife with respect the Lord demands of you if you do not really know her and if you do not deeply know Christ? Plain and simple, you cannot. If you do not strive to understand your wife, then you will never meet her needs or make yourself pleasing to God as the head of the home. And if you do not walk near to Jesus, then you will not have the grace and power to rightly lead your wife and family down the path of righteousness. Husbands need to make the purposeful effort to comprehend how the physical changes their wife goes through affects them emotionally so they can be kind and considerate through those times. As I said a little while ago, there is absolutely no excuse for physical abuse, and there is absolutely no justifiable excuse for mental and emotional abuse either. This can go both ways, where either the husband or the wife or both of them are degrading, ridiculing, condemning each other because they do not understand each other. If you degrade, ridicule, or demean your spouse, you need to repent of such an evil sin that is thoroughly unloving and completely unchristlike. Christian husbands and wives should never use cuss words, and they should most certainly never cuss out their wife because they are angry and having a childish temper tantrum. Nor should husbands ever use degrading words against a spouse for any reason, whether out of anger or jest. Men, if you want your wife to respect you, then make sure you are showing respect to her and living as a man of God, not as a man of the world. Now we come to the third command Peter has given men, which is to treat them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Not only are you to treat your wife with respect because she is the weaker vessel, but you are to treat her as co-heirs with Christ. It is level ground at the foot of the cross. The same blood that cleanses men of sin is the same blood that cleanses women. And the same Holy Spirit that lives in the heart of a believing husband also dwells in the heart of a believing wife. I am not going to say that I understand how heaven works. But we are told by Jesus that in heaven, the distinction between male and female will no longer be made in the way it is now, or at least no longer a means of authority one over another. In Galatians 3:28, Paul wrote, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So husbands must respect their wives as equals because they are equal in Christ, and that equality will be fully realized in heaven. In closing, I want to bring a little bit more application to Peter's teaching on godly husbands. There are many logical and practical reasons why husbands should treat their wives in the way Peter is commanding, and I will mention just a couple of these. The first reason is the one Peter gave, and he must have felt that it was important enough to state in this epistle. Husbands are to be considerate to their wives so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The implication of this statement is far-reaching. When there is division in the home, there is division between the family and God. You cannot have a bad marriage and be right with God. That is just a fact. Now, some of you might be angry with me over that statement, but I challenge you to prove me wrong then. Peter is giving very clear warnings that at the core of marital breakdown is a breakdown of relationship between God and man. A godly husband and wife will never get divorced. They will not have a bad marriage. They will not have a home filled with contention and strife. You cannot have bitterness, strife, contention, and abuse in the home and have a right relationship with God. And until the relationship with God is made right, there cannot be any good and lasting change in the marriage. You have to get the sin out of your life that is separating you and God before you can see any real healing in the home. Think of the implications of what Peter is saying here. To have your prayers hindered means that God will not answer your prayers because sin is in your lives and the breakdown of your marriage is always and absolutely the result of sin. So you are praying that your children will surrender their lives to Christ, but your marital sin is hindering your prayers, which means that it is as if you never prayed for your children. Think of all the church kids that are rushing to hell because of this very issue, because parents would not walk right before God. The Lord will not show favor to the prayers of parents that have a marriage filled with the works of the flesh and of hell. Think of how much ministry has been thwarted because there was division in a minister's family, so their prayers were hindered. How many people have not been reached with the gospel because the anointing was withheld because of division between a husband and wife? If prayer truly has power, and if sin in the home keeps the Lord from answering the prayers of parents, then many miracles never came to be because sin was in the home. Now that is some very serious stuff. There are many other logical and practical reasons why husbands should be considerate to their wives, but I will only mention two more. First, it makes for happy, loving, fulfilled marriage and family. Why is it that people purposely and systematically destroy the marriage that they need and want? People have to work at destroying their marriage, just like they have to work at building a godly one that is pleasing to God and to each other. If you practice sin and compromise, then do not be shocked when your home is a nightmare and your children do not want anything to do with Jesus. Rebel against God and do those things that will incur his disfavor, then do not be shocked when all hell breaks loose in your home. When we do things God's way, we will get God's promised results. But when we refuse to live God's way, we make ourselves his enemy and then find he is fighting against us, and that is terrifying. Just look at the condition of marriages by people that claim to be Christian. Are they reflections of heaven or reflections of hell? When we have at our disposal everything we need to live pleasing to the Lord and to have his blessing full and rich in our lives, why would we fight against the very one that is seeking to do us good? If a husband wants a loving wife, then why would he be mean to her, yell at her, and do things to spite her? It is insane how we can act, destroying what we want most, what we say we love most. And women foolishly do the same identical things. If you want a loving husband, then be a loving wife. If you want kindness shown to you, then show kindness to your husband. And if you want compassion from your husband when you are in need, then you need to do the same for him. Yet so many husbands and wives do to their spouse exactly what they do not want done to them. Is this not insane? Being a loving, considerate husband creates a spirit-filled home that gives the greatest opportunity for the children to walk with Jesus when they are older. We cannot force our children to walk with Christ, but we should be giving them every opportunity to do so by the way we live as parents. Parents train up their children in the way they should go, and if the home is a nightmare, then the children will more than likely reproduce that nightmare in their lives. Fathers teach sons how to be husbands and fathers. Mothers teach daughters how to be a wife and mother. We are all making a legacy. It is just a matter of what kind of legacy we are leaving. Are we leaving a legacy of heaven or of hell? One of loving Jesus or of loving sin and self? one of compromise, or one of loving devotion to Jesus? Please, honestly answer this question, because there's still time to change the legacy you are leaving. It is time to get serious about our faith, for there is more at stake than what we first realized.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Truth with your host, Glenn Meldrum. We at In His Presence Ministries pray that this weekly podcast will be a blessing to you. Please tell others about it and subscribe yourself to this free podcast. Don't forget to visit our website at www.ihpministry.com. See you again next time, and may God richly bless you as you seek Him in spirit and in truth.
And thirst no more, so come wash in the river, come drink your fill, let healing water.